application is to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 10 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1 acre more or less, lying at the northeast corner of Holland Glade Road, also referred to as Road 271, and Kelly Drive, which is the entrance to the Henlopen and Keys subdivision. Now, gentlemen, for the record, or and for the audience, the record, we have received an exhibit booklet on this application. It is spiral bound. It contains a reference to the project team, site maps, site data, site layout, and additional renderings, some photographs, and some support information. It is a part of the record and has been a part of the record since September 25th. Bear with me a second. I got some faxes and some emails today. So. You ladies might want to have a seat. It might take me a couple minutes.
Okay.
Is there anyone here with an interest in this application before we get started? All right. One of two things can happen. Either you all can move that maybe over here so they can see better, or they can move
over there. Board
without. Yeah, why don't you put another one?
The other easel went, so we
I was getting to that, Council.
Is there another easel over there?
Huh? He sure did. I'm going to let him run this one.
Now, we received comments from a couple of agencies, first one being the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report. Makes reference to Holland Glade Road, which has an annual average daily traffic of 1,361 vehicles per day. A traffic impact study was not recommended by DLDOT. The existing level of service of Holland Glade Road is level of service A and will not change as a result of this application. The information that was sent to DLDOT made reference to two twin homes being 4 units and two triplexes being 6 units. So there was a total of 10 as applied for. I received today a memorandum from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division making reference to this application, provides the location reference, the tax map, the number of units proposed, and references that the West Rehoboth expansion area of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District has a system design assumption at 4 units per acre. The question in that document is a project proposed or a proposed or current county operated maintained sanitary sewer district. It is, which is a West Rehoboth expansion area. In reference to wastewater capacity, the system design did not consider redevelopment of each parcel into multifamily dwellings at higher density. The system design assumption is 4 EDUs, which are equivalent dwelling units per parcel for residential zone parcels of 1 acre or more. The proposed project exceeds system design assumptions for the area. The proposed project is a density of 10 units per acre. Approval of projects at an increased density in this area has the potential to cause significant capacity issues in this drainage area and limit options for other property owners. Approval of projects at densities greater than density design assumptions has a negative impact on sewer system capacity. The engineering department does not support the density of 10 units per acre because of the overall detriment to the treatment plant. In addition, proposals that exceed planning study assumptions increase existing deficiencies and hasten the need to perform upgrades. Further evaluation at the developer's expense is required to determine what upgrades are required to serve the proposed project. The developer should contact the engineering department for additional information regarding performing the evaluation. All required upgrades would be completed by the developer and would be at the developer's expense. Some upgrades may be cost prohibitive. We recommend against exceeding 4 EDUs per acre. And to continue, Ordinance 38, construction would be required. There are system connection charge credits. There is one on parcel 337 if the existing dwelling is disconnected and removed. And the current system connection charge rate for the SOAR district is $4,132 under current budget year. Makes reference to parcel 337 is presently served with 1 6-inch lateral, which is not adequate to serve the proposal. An installation of an 8-inch lateral would be required. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study or undertaking amendment would be required. Downstream sewer lines and pump station deficiencies have been identified in some parts of the sewer system that serve these parcels. The engineering department will not approve issuance of a building permit for the project until those and any additional required upgrades have been completed. Now, the county recently adopted new road standards, and the standards become effective January 1st of 2009 and will apply to this project. And a concept plan is required. And that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. I received several letters in opposition, first being from Michael R. Tyler, President of the Citizens Coalition Incorporated, making reference. He had been requested by longtime resident Patricia Frazier of Holland Glade Road to offer testimony regarding this application, and makes reference to the proposed application of 10 units. The Citizens Coalition opposes this application and recommends denial as presented for these reasons. One, according to the county ordinance, Article 24, conditional use, 115-171 purpose, such use are generally of a public or semi-public character and essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. But because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and possible impact not only on neighboring properties but on a larger section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment and site plan. Two, the application on 1 acre at the requested high density of 10 units will have a considerably negative effect on the existing community, which has been traditionally rural in character, and further because it is in the environmentally sensitive district, which is the comprehensive plan update states should allow 2 homes per acre. Three, a parcel of land is nearby of nearly 190 acres owned by the state and designated as permanent open space and is actively farmed. This land acts as a buffer for the popular Junction and Breakwater Trail and contributes to the diverse yet rural character of the community. The multifamily site application at the density requested violates this character. Four, Holland Glade Road retains a wooded view corridor. It has its share of traffic created by development, shopping, referencing the outlets at Route 1, the Epworth Church, and the Little Lake Fields. Certainly, adding a 10-unit development on a small parcel will create considerably more traffic and pose more risk to the health, safety, and welfare of its residents and neighbors. We realize that the property can be developed at the current rate of 2 units per acre, which would be acceptable. Mrs. Frazier, who has lived on Holland Glade Road for nearly 4 generations, believes reducing the density on this site is critically important for the entire community. As a conditional use ordinance notes, we request you exercise good planning judgment regarding this site and for this community. And that was signed by Michael R. Tyler, President, Citizen College. I also received a letter and faxed late this afternoon from Mabel Granke, stating she is not able to attend or be present at the public hearing concerning this application, and asked that the following be made a part of the record. The concerns put forward by longtime resident Mrs. Patricia Frazier and abutting landowners are valid and deserving of your consideration. This property is AR1 land and has developed as large lot single family homes, remains in active farming on land protecting the bikeway, proposed density on less than an acre of land, proposing 10 units, 30 parking spaces, is totally out of character of the surrounding uses. This is an environmentally sensitive area, therefore density 5 times the established AR zoning and is building to the max without regard to the community. In designated environmentally sensitive areas, stormwater management and drainage plans require careful consideration. It is my belief that the purpose clause of the requested conditional use zoning as to be proposed conditional use of land cannot be judged to be for the public good, and request denial of this application. We have a series of letters from individuals. In summary, they're basically referring to the same concerns of Mr. Tyler and Mr. Granke. The one letter came from John Brunts and John Hart of 6 Stephanie Court. We have another letter from Thomas Reese and Jeffrey Myers of Hennepin Keys. We have the same from William J. Rossi. If I say anybody's name wrong, I apologize. That's all I can say. We have another letter in opposition from Lynn R. DeCorse of Stephanie Court, Vivian A. Fisher of Holland Glade Road, James R. Duckett of Butcher Drive, Patricia Frazier of Hennepin Road, Holland Glade Road, Charles Valente of Glade Circle East, and Scott Kessler of Fletcher Drive and Gary Avenue within Hennepin Keys. And we have a small handwritten note, and if I can read it, in opposition from Tom and Elaine Kennedy, it appears to be, from Kelly Drive. And they are all part of record, and copies will be made available to the commission members for their review. And gentlemen, that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes whomever wants to come up and begin. So you have Mr. Warner with you, but apparently, ladies, you're going to speak for yourselves. Please introduce yourselves, if you would, and you may have the floor.
Okay, my name is Robin Erthel, and I'm from Lewis, Delaware. I live at the Village of Five Points, and I teach in the Cape and Lopin School District.
And my name is Lindy Lake Hertrick, and I live in Rehoboth, and I'm an assistant principal at a local elementary school. And Robin and I wanted to first talk to you a little bit about the evolution of this piece of property. About 5 years ago, Robin and I were searching for an investment property, and we came across this plot of land on Holland Glade Road. And we purchased this piece of property, like I said, strictly for an investment reason. We were taking a look at the surrounding properties and saw that they were multifamily zoned, and we thought that this piece of property would also be zoned as multifamily as well. Robin and I, both as educators, were very familiar with the cost of living in the Rehoboth area. And our plan was to have homes that were within reach for educators like us. And one way to do that was to make a smaller home, a smaller footprint, therefore making the property more affordable for people like us. And that's sort of how our plan came into play. So we took our idea and we came over to Georgetown, and we actually sat down with Mr. Lenk and we told him our idea. We also sat down with a gentleman from the Water and Sewer Division, and we told him our plan of having 10 units. And he said, you know, the property itself can only accommodate 4 EDUs. And he said, however, it is only 1 acre. You're not asking for 1,000 acres. So that would really only burden the system with 6 units. So he said, you know, if I were you, I would go ahead and, you know, contact someone, get your plan on paper, and see what you have to say. So at that point, we did. We contacted Element, and we talked to Matthew and Doug, and here we are today.
One of the things that was important to us, as Lindy said, was creating a plan that made sense for the area. And concerned and sensitive to the neighbors in our area, the initial plan that they presented us and that we were going to propose had taller units, had units without a buffer that was really taken into consideration. And we went back and asked them, can we make them more, can we lower their height, can we make them more presentable to our neighbors? The architecture that they presented makes the duplexes look much like a single home from the front view. And the buffer zone that we would present would not just plant a row of Leland cypresses for our neighbors, but would potentially create a buffer that was appealing to them and us. The current home that lives on the property are one very dilapidated farmhouse section, and then a farmhouse that's, you know, livable, but definitely an old farmhouse. And so what we consider our plan is potentially an improvement to what's currently there, considering the age and the amount of weather that property has seen. So we are going to leave all of the technical details to Doug and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, each one of you that wishes to speak will be afforded an opportunity to do so later. Whether you agree or disagree with what's being said, please keep to yourself until it's time for you to speak, and you will be given a chance to speak. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, sir, move up. You can hear a little bit better. You can move. You're welcome to move up, right up, sit up right up front here if you like. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Doug Warner, and this is Matthew Peterson from Element. As you heard, our firm was hired to try and implement this plan per the outlook that our clients have. For the record, we would like to just go over a few items here and then show you a little bit about the plan as we're trying to implement it. The conditional use is 1749, and the two parcels are 334-13-337 and 337.01 in the Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware. You know, in applying for the conditional use, we did a little bit of research and looked back into the comp plan, and I think part of the concern came up is that, you know, the surrounding zoning here is all MR zoning with the potential for higher density residential units. It also, in the comprehensive plan, is designated as a level 3 area, no longer the level 4. And in addition to that, and some of these items are contained in your booklet as well, diagrams, is classified as a mixed residential classification as outlined in the future land use map of the comp plan. So that feedback, or those items, as well as some of the feedback that we were hearing relative to the Grand, which is a fairly large community proposed not too far from here, that the multifamily fitting into here had a chance, actually had a purpose in here. The site is located, as you know, on Holland Glade Road, right near the intersection of Kelly Drive. It is 1.0 acres on the nose. It is AR1 in the environmental sensitive area. And we are proposing here, as you see, county sewer. We heard the new correspondence there today. We did have some correspondence, and you'll see that in your booklet as well, for an allocation of 4 units. But we did have some discussions that there could be potential for more of that, and that's the reason the plan was designed the way it is. Current use is residential. It has a storage building there, a single-family home. There are a few scattered trees throughout the site. It's not forested. It's not any groves or anything to that effect. Typical houses trees that you would see on this type of home. Type of home site. Wetlands, there are none, no floodplain issues, no historic buildings, no endangered species. I mean, it is a current residential unit as we see it now. So what we can do is at least take a few minutes and have Matthew walk you through the plan and share with you a few of the elevations and some of the landscaping that we had in mind.
Internal to the site, there are no garage doors. Thank you. No garage doors facing directly onto Holland Glade Road or to Kelly Drive. Again, we tried to nestle the houses within the buildable area, kind of make them all face each other, have internalized views, and then more focus on the landscaping around the perimeter there and the buffers. We're proposing underground stormwater for the front of the site here. The rest of it would just be would be landscaped and maintained. Additionally, our client, I think, is negotiations to talk about trying to landscape this buffer area here next to Kelly Drive. It's a 5,500 square foot area that would be proposed to be well-designed landscape to create yet another buffer So what we did with that was we kind of put together two quick elevation studies, one from the view of Kelly Drive showing some landscaping in that area. Obviously, it's more of a 2D drawing and a perspective, but it shows you sort of the level of landscaping there. It shows the trees around it. The whole site is surrounded by trees, not necessarily on this site per se, but on the adjacent block. And then the view from Holly Glade Road, how these homes face each other, how the parking sort of works, and again, how these buffers against Kelly Drive, this being Kelly Drive, would work.
The parking requirements, at least at the time of application here, were three per unit. This design that you see accommodates that with a combination of driveways and or garages. There is potential to to reduce that down, I believe, for these three-bedroom units. It's down to two parking units as well. So there's potential to get the impervious surfaces down a little bit there. In terms of the roads and streets, the access would be approved through DelDOT, 50-foot right-of-way there. As we indicated, and we heard through the comments there, that the impact to Holland Glade Road kept the level of service at the current level of service here, so we saw a minor impact due to the 10 units. Stormwater management, as Matthew indicated, the preliminary soils that we have, infiltration is a strong possibility here, and we're indicating an underground infiltration basin toward the front of the site that could be landscaped with meadow grasses and things of that nature. We've also discussed a little bit about incorporating some localized BMPs such as rain gardens and things of that nature for each one of the buildings, and even migrating into maybe a flat portion of the roof and getting into some green roof systems there as well. You folks all heard the recent recommendations from county engineering relative to the sewer. The four EDUs were allocated. Severe questions, apparently, with the most recent correspondence into taking it any higher than that, but that's something that, if approved at the 10 units, we would certainly do the pro forma to evaluate the cost-effectiveness of putting that in. For the record, again, in your booklets, there is a Chapter 99-9C letter. I believe we've addressed a few of those things in here, but I'd like to have that in for the record, as well as an environmental assessment and public facilities report. And we will take on any questions or comments at this point in time.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And I believe we'll start with you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you share with the commission what the density is in some of these other projects in the area that are alluded to in terms of the MRRPCs and the...
I don't have any specific density counts on the surrounding communities.
So would it be safe to say they probably aren't 10 units to the acre?
I don't have any data to support yes or no on that particular question.
I have traveled the roads and viewed this area quite extensively, and also had the opportunity to fly over it. And I can personally say I didn't see anything that looked quite as dense and as what's being proposed here, but I might be wrong.
I have no data to support it one way or the other. I that's why I would hate to give an answer as to what I thought it was.
And how, ballpark figure, how cost effective would you say it would be to make all these extensive sewer upgrades and still maintain these as affordable housing for underpaid educators?
Well, based on what the verbal conversations that our client had...
excuse me just for a second. Mr. Moore, I'm going to ask you to speak up just a little bit. I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Okay. Based on the verbal conversations that our client had with county engineering some time ago relative to the new correspondence that came in, we knew that there was potentially an upgrade of the 6-inch to an 8-inch. A lot of the information I heard this evening I was unaware of in terms of boiling that back all the way to the plant. We had gotten correspondence or discussions with them that another 6 units could potentially not be a problem in terms of the reserve capacity of the plant. So we have not really taken it on in terms of a lot of the recommendations and upgrades that they have recommended there. We have not run any sort of cost analysis or engineering to support any kind of answer to your question there, unfortunately.
Okay. And in your exhibit booklet, you make reference to 10.31 units per acre. Is that due to the dedication that you have to give to
From Del Dot.
Del Dot. Mm-hmm. So actually now we're talking about a little bit more than 10 units per acre.
That is correct.
And are you aware of any other projects in the area that, are of this small size in terms of this kind of density? I mean, because I know we talk about the MRRPCs, and, they tend to be large projects dealing with hundreds of homes that have a variety of amenities and open space and, that sort of thing. But in terms of a concentrated block.
I mean, it's a unique situation, gentlemen. There's no question about it, taking a one-acre lot and, putting 10 units in here. I think you've heard a little bit of what the goal was there from a cost standpoint. And from a design standpoint, what we've tried to do is to take that target and, work it in here with good design practices as best we can to make it fit into the community. So can I can't cite specific, what's the term Mr. Fuqua would use, case studies or, you know, precedents or anything to that effect. We took on the site with the goal in mind and tried to achieve that in the best design that we could.
And I commend you for your design. Your design for the limited amount of space and what you proposed, your design work was nice.
Thank you.
Can't say that about the project, but your design work was nice. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Can I respond to one of those questions, the first question?
Oh, you may.
Just for informational purpose for the public and the commission, that the Hanover Keys is developed at minimum 10,000 square foot lots. That's basically 4 units to the acre, less a few square foot because of streets. The Canal Point project, I think it's called, back at Hanover Keys is RPC, medium density residential, again, about approximately 4 units to the acre. Those are the 2 projects closest to this project.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Okay, Mr. Burden.
Just one. Has there been Del Dot approval on this entrance?
Excuse me. Del Dot, not at this point in time. No, sir.
No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Gordon?
Just one. Would you have adequate room up, near the road to provide a school bus stop?
Have we provided?
Do you have enough room to provide?
I believe we would do in our 50-foot right-of-way. Most of our other communities have a similar type of entrance, even regardless of their size. I think we can accommodate that toward the front portion, a little bit after the radius there. I don't believe there'd be a pull-off necessarily for the bus, but we would have an interior shelter just inboard of the Del Dot right-of-way.
Further question on that?
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you received any comments from the fire marshal?
No, sir. With the in typical regards to this type of community from our past experience with the 24-foot paved surface coming in there and then being dedicated as townhomes and the short distance going in, we've seen similar type of applications. We certainly have no problem. We know that has to be reviewed by the fire marshal, but it has not been done so at this point in time.
The road configuration, Mr. Smith, is almost exactly their T turnaround, if you will, a 24-foot fire lane that comes to a T intersection with the correct radii at each corner. Mm-hmm. So it would be in compliance with what they're looking for, especially if being townhomes.
So what I'm hearing you say is while you don't have comments from the fire marshal, based on your experience and credentials, you put in the roads that would be
yes, sir.
Adequate to meet what they normally approve.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All right. How about if the application was looked upon favorably, would the same follow for necessities such as dumpsters? I'm thinking of being able to get a compactor truck in there, or what were your thoughts on that?
Most likely trash service would be handled with the individual bins. Most of the townhome communities are doing that as opposed to a central dumpster. So they would roll them out in one morning and, be able to grab those. And maybe that location might be centralized, but I think there's still adequate turnaround room for those guys.
What were your thoughts on signage?
As far as for the development?
Yes.
I think it probably kept to a minimum, perhaps a small monument towards Holland Glade Road. Hmm. It was never really discussed.
So, under as I'm sure you're aware, under conditional use application, we typically ask questions like this, so we have the latitude to do what we think are recommended. Lighting as well?
Lighting would probably be the standard utility pole type lighting that usually gets set up with the electric service provider.
The units themselves, would they be two-story units? I believe it was Ms. Lake said something about they'd look.
Yes, sir, and actually that, I appreciate you bringing that up. We would limit the height of this to 35 feet, and they would be two-story units.
Yeah, the current application shows 42-foot limitation on there, and we're proposing this evening to make that a condition, I guess, back to you folks to limit that to 35 feet.
Mm-hmm. And I think I heard, just reiterating for the record, in the comments of Ms. Lake discussing her meeting, I guess, with Mr. Lank and someone from engineering, and what you mentioned, that the twice was potential for multifamily, that this land is AR1, correct?
Correct. This is an AR1 in the environmentally sensitive development district. And as we indicated in the beginning, is that it, if you look at the zoning maps, and it's surrounded by MR. And then the comprehensive plan up in 2007 comprehensive plan identifies some changes in taking into level 3 outside of the level 4, as well as having a mixed residential land use classification. So considering those things with the MR around it, we thought it fit into the character.
With the potential, notwithstanding, your application is a conditional use, which
without question
commission gets to. Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Lank.
No questions.
Mr. Cowles.
No additional questions.
Counsel?
No, thanks.
All right, then. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1749, Robin Earthel and Linda Lake? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1749? And we're going to start with you, sir. Okay.
First, let me apologize to you gentlemen. This is dead and this can't hear either, so I don't know what work you spent all night, but I'm here anyhow.
Okay.
My name is Will Gaylord. I reside at 2 Kelly Drive, which is directly opposite this whatever. I would like to point out just a couple of things for you.
Okay.
This is the view that I will get when it's finished, which is not a nice view. But this artist rep, there's no trees in here whatsoever. There can never be any trees in here. There's a 27-foot setback that belongs to the people who set up the streets. This street was originally designed to be a double street, and that wound up being one. And this strip here does not belong to them, and they couldn't plant a tree in there if they wanted to. That's number one. Number two, this is what my view is now. Pretty, isn't it? All nice trees. Nothing between me and trees. This is my house right here. This is my walkway right here. And this is what I'll be saying.
Well, wait a minute now. You there are trees in your picture. What trees are they?
There are no trees there.
Well, there's trees in your
field. In fact, it's 27 feet that belong to whoever knows.
I know.
The street.
I was saying in your picture it looked like there were trees there now.
Oh, that's the other side of the lot.
Okay, so you're talking about this front portion here.
That's what I see when I walk out my door.
Okay.
I see now.
All right.
I see the
Thank
white
you.
House and the trees.
Okay, that's just what I wanted to
a
see. Which
bit of history, just a touch of history.
Sure.
When these people bought the property as an investment, it was a good investment, by the way. It was one lot, one building lot. They split it in two. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, I can't substantiate this, but they're going to say at one time they wanted to put 6 units on it, which is still fairly feasible. Now they want 10. I'm going to cut it off right now. I've said my piece because my neighbors, I think, have more to say than I and
okay.
do it much more eloquently than I. They're smarter than I am. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're certainly welcome. Well, if it's only going to get better from here on out, I can't wait. Who'd like to be next? All right, sir, come on up. Please give us your name and you may have the floor. But before you get started, I want to ask, Mr., if you would just take just right nearby. Mr. Warner, would you respond, please, to the issue regarding the 27 feet and the feasibility of putting trees there or not putting trees there?
He is correct in that portion, and I don't know if it's exactly 27 feet, but it's not owned by our clients. But what we had discussed was their willingness to work with the owner of that property in landscaping it at our client's expense in order to provide a buffer to the folks that were on the opposite side of Kelly.
Have you talked to the property owner at this point?
I have not talked to the property owner at this point in time.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Frank Starr, S-T-A-R-R. I live at 2 Stephanie Court, which in terms of this picture is right here, right across the street from the proposed development.
Okay.
And I have a brief statement I'd like to read and then give it to the council for the record.
Please do. Thank you.
As I just said, our house is located right across the street from this proposed townhouse development, and my wife and I have composed this letter in opposition on the following grounds. Number one is noise. Henlopen Keys is a well-established development. It's been there about 20 to 30 years. Of 27 homes, with just half of them actually being occupied full-time, the others are weekend homes. A lot of people come and go for the weekends. The only noises we currently hear are the mooing of cows from the dairy farm across the street and occasional truck on Holland Glade Road. Thankfully, the noise has abated in this property as it exists now, because over the years, there have been tenants in there with screaming rock guitars all night long, and obvious domestic quarrels going on. Thankfully, the house is empty now. And we just think that this highly concentrated development of 10 townhomes with potential 30 residents on 1 acre will bring a degree of noise we just don't want in the neighborhood. Number two, and it's been mentioned, traffic. Exiting onto Holland Glade Road from Kelly Drive right now is hazardous. At best, I often go clear around the development to come out on Futcher because the view is better. Putting these townhomes up, a two-story townhome, I think will block the eastbound view from Kelly Drive down to Holland Glade Road. There are a lot of construction trucks, you know, the F-150 type trucks that zoom up and down Holland Glade Road. It's a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit. They don't go 40 miles an hour. Your life is in your hands when you pull out. The third and possibly most important element for me is water. I came over and reviewed the plans for this development, and on the plans it calls for 10 individual wells for domestic water supply. This would place a nearly 50% increase in the demand of the current groundwater supply in a very highly concentrated area. And since all the houses in the current development are on wells, obviously, the quantity and quality of our domestic water is a prime concern, and we have no other choice at this time. The Tidewater supply is on the other side of Holland Glade Road and does not and will not service Holland Glade, Henlopen Keys. Sorry. The increased development in our area seems to be having a negative effect on our groundwater. Recently, one household had to replace their well pump because the water table dropped down to the point where their well pump could no longer serve their home, and we have had our water tested every 2 years since we've owned the home, which has been for the last 8 years. It has always tested pure and clean. However, the most recent test indicates there's bacteria now in our water. So something is happening in the area that is aggravating the groundwater supply. So I have a few questions that I would like the commission to be able to answer ultimately if this development is approved. Number one, what will the introduction of 10 additional wells do to the current groundwater supply in our area, both in quantity and quality? Number two, if this development goes through and is built as planned, will the county guarantee that the current homeowner's domestic water supply is not interrupted? And if so, will you be willing to supply us with a free and unlimited supply of pure water for our homes?
No and no.
Thank you. And have or will extensive studies of the current aquifer be done to see if there's really a sufficient supply of groundwater underground to support 10 homes with as many as 30 occupants on 1 acre of ground? And then fourth and final is aesthetics. It's been mentioned that Henlopen Keys is a development of single-family homes. Introducing a high-density group of townhomes will negatively impact the value of our homes. I think it was said by the proponents that they're going to make it affordable. I think the other word for affordable is low cost. Here we are, we'll be competing, trying to sell our homes at some point in time, but low-cost townhouses. Right around the corner, we have the development of the Grand, where there isn't any number of townhouses sitting empty right now that they can barely give away. They've dropped the price from over $400,000 down to $250,000, and you drive by there at night, and fewer than 10% of the lights are on. They're just sitting empty. In terms of aesthetics also, and this is just an aside, we already, and I'm not calling this development an eyesore, but we already have one major issue in our development that the residents have been fighting for years, and that's a property located at 5 Stephanie Court, which has been in complete disrepair. It's unoccupied and unoccupiable, and the residents have made any number of efforts with the county, with the constable's office, to get that site cleaned up, and it's never been cleaned up, so we've been fighting that. That's just an aside that really isn't relevant to this particular development, but it's there. So in summary, my wife and I urge you to vote no on this proposed development. And I'd like to give you our, excuse me, our letter for the record.
Thank you. If you would hand that to our counsel or to Mr. Lay.
Thanks, sir.
All right, sir, and we thank you. Again, Mr. Warner, if you would respond to for the commission, benefit of the commission and the public. Regarding the water, I believe your submission says a community well. And how do you plan to do that if you're...
Well, there is... we would not be planning to service this with 10 individual wells. The exact number of wells has not been determined, but the idea was to service it, and it's done in things that are less than, I believe, it's 25,000 gallons per day or something. I forget what the exact threshold is at this point in time. But to be serviced by one well that then provides the water via a typical sewer or a typical water network to each one of the units.
Did you investigate the possibility of public water?
No, sir. Or yes, we have, and it was cost prohibitive versus putting in a community system for the 10 units.
Okay. All right, sir. We thank you. I'm sorry, sir. It's usually one trip to a customer. You might want to whisper what you once said or asked to somebody else, and they'll be happy to come up and ask for you. Who's next? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Jeremy Noble Fisher. I live at 18879 Holland Glade Road, which on this you can't see it. There's approximately one property between my house and this proposed development.
On the same side of the street?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
We know I have a lot of the same concerns. Water is one, power is another. I don't know as though our facilities can handle 10 more families flushing their toilets every day, 10 more families turning on air conditioners every summer, 10 more families turning on their heat every winter. It does not really fit into our neighborhood, despite what it is zoned as, multifamily residential. If I bought a property that was deemed agricultural, it does not mean I would go be a pig farmer on that property. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Sharon Kincaid, and I live on Kelly Drive, two houses behind it.
Okay.
Okay. This buffer here, I'm not sure of, but when you go down my road, I'm not part of the development.
Okay.
These were individual pieces before the development was started.
Okay.
I do believe that could be my road if the development said I couldn't ride on their road, was my understanding originally. So also part of my front yard could be taken as road because Henlop and Keith did not have to give us permission to use their road. My water in the summer drops off. They have the city put in a couple wells up on Holland Glade Road, and I can see a major difference in what my water pressure is. And that's just with the, I'm at 90 foot, they're at 200. So I guess they're drawing down. So the more people that use that close around me, I'm afraid are going to also cause the water to drop down, and I not have. We're smaller homes, we're not large homes, and if I'm not in the development, and what if I bulldoze my house down, can I put in 4 or 5 units?
No.
You know, I'm a half an acre.
Unless you come and ask us.
So, I mean, I just don't think it fits in. They want to put two houses, that's what it, you know, would be.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
We thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Joseph Gottschall. I live in Hamilton Keys.
on Fletcher Drive. I would like them to answer the question, where exactly are these other multifamily dwellings in the area? Hennepin Keys is, as Mr. Lank said, 4 per acre single-family homes. There aren't any other multifamily dwellings in that area. And Mrs. Kincaid is right. That buffer is part of the road. It's actually owned by Emma Fletcher, who is deceased.
Okay, part of the road. We thank you. Mr. Warner, would you like to respond to the gentleman's question for the benefit of the commission and the audience? I think you have an exhibit in your book that might partially answer that.
You know what page that's on, by the way?
It's on page 7.
Thank you.
In fact, sir, if you want to look at this, you're welcome to come up and... I'm sure my wife didn't leave me any love notes in there or anything. So you can take that back.
I mean, the primary driver here, and we saw a lot of the MR zoning, is flushing over to the Grand with multifamily in there. As you're, in terms of an aerial view and the proximity, you'll see the Tides community, you'll see Rehoboth Crossing. There is in this general area. As the bird flies, these areas are close. They're close to the Junction Breakwater Trail, which this is close to that. So maybe not directly next door in terms of Henlopen Keys, I believe it is, but directly next door with the Grand and as I mentioned, Rehoboth Crossing and the Tides. We do see that there is multifamily in the general area.
All right, sir. Thank you. And who's next? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Scott Kessler. I live at 2 Fletcher Drive, and I have the property at 9 Gary. I won't reiterate what everyone else said. I would like to say that even when the Grand at Canal Point was presented, the council saw fit to see that only single-family homes were put adjacent to the Henlopen Keys development. They forced them to move the multifamily away from us to protect our community. The other thing, the story was very nice about low-cost housing, but I'm a real estate agent, and I followed this property, and it's been for sale through different agents for many years now. So I doubt their veracity, but I don't know that they're going to be the owners of the property that we're going to be dealing with.
Well, I suspect that they wouldn't be if they're going to sell the units.
Sell the property. On the market now for $750,000.
Okay. Who's next? Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
Yeah. Good evening to you all. I am Patricia Rust Frazier. I live at 18909 Holland Glade Road. This property that I am on has been in my family for many years, as you heard from some of the other letters. Mm-hmm. So I do own the adjoining property to the property that is in question for tonight. That is where my home is. I have 5.29 acres there. So I don't intend to come back, I don't think, and ask for 10 homes for on the 5 acres. Plus I got 8 more something acres in the back. But anyhow, I do object to the request for the 10 units of multifamily structures, plus the 30 or 36 parking spaces that they have put in writing I've seen on the almost 1 acre. Adjacent to where it is what was the farm that I was born and raised on, and it consisted of 191 acres. We sold that to the state of Delaware for open space. Of course, now that's a big plus, you know, open space, open space. I also have a question, if my knee will allow me. These trees over here, are they yours or are they mine? Or there for decoration?
Ma'am, you have to ask us, but I'll ask them. Whose trees are they?
The trees that are shown as pictures, these are not on the property. That's the property line.
Okay, so these perhaps are...
Those are not they're probably yours.
Yeah. Helps to make it prettier, right?
I
do love the trees. I really do. That's why I live there. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I apologize.
Not a problem. Okay. Let me ask you one question. Are those trees there or not?
They are there.
They're there and they're your trees,
they
right?
They are my trees, yes.
Got that cleared up. Go ahead.
So with that, as I say, when we sold what was my mother's farm to the state for open space, that is now also part of it is used for the Breakwater Junction bike trail.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I thank you for your attention to all of you and your consideration, and I object to the C/U 1749.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Ms. Fraser.
Ms. Fraser, would you mind? One of the commissioners has a question for you. Would you mind coming back up?
Pardon?
Did you indicate what the total acreage of what you currently own now is?
The parcel that my little house is on is 5.29 acres. In the back is 849, something like that.
Is that farmland?
No, woods.
Woods, okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lank brought up something, I believe, earlier, public hearing about the 5 acres and the 30-foot buffer.
Well, for farming, yeah, but it's not farm application, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate that. Who's next? Okay. Almost. Okay.
My name is John Fletcher.
And I live on Hollinglade Road. That was part of my father's farm. The tenants were given permission to live there when they farmed it. I've been there all my life. And I think the Hollinglade Road, the traffic on Hollinglade Road now is bad enough. The other thing is it wasn't designed. Henlopen Keys was part of the farm my father started at, and there's no multifamily homes in Henlopen Keys, which borders up to that. The other thing, as far as your water is concerned, the city of Rehoboth Beach has got that side of the road to run it all the way back. In fact, their main stops in front of my house. It can be attached. They'll run it down there if somebody wants to pay. And I doubt if they're going to get permission to drill a well to supply these. I bet they've never even checked into that yet. But if the central water is available, each homeowner, the way I understand it now, has to tap into their water. I know one resident in Hilton Keys that put irrigation in for his lawn, sod, and he got a letter from the city. So if they want to go that route, that's up to them. That's all I have to say.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Oh, you own that piece?
I do own that piece, 27-foot strip.
All right, sir. Who's next? Anyone else? Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. Before we close the public hearing, I want to thank all of you for your patience. You're a very well-behaved group. Everyone has their point of view. There are no bad people on either side of this issue, just sometimes we differ, and it'll be up to us to make a decision. So we're going to do our very best we can for all of you. And with that, we will close the public hearing. You may wish to remain to see if we make a decision later this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. If you are choosing to leave now, I would appreciate it if you would do it quietly, because we have more business to transact, and we can't do it if you're talking and walking. Okay? Thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1750, John Gilman.